I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coffee Break Conversations, Season 1, Episode 3. Hello and welcome back to our brand new interview podcast, Coffee Break Conversations, in which we talk about life, learning and languages. Last week we heard the story of Catherine, a Coffee Break language learner, and this week I speak to Chris Broholm from the Actual Fluency podcast. Hailing from Denmark, Chris is, in his own words, a language journalist, a researcher, documenter and helper to empower other language learners. After discovering the channels of various well-known language learners on YouTube, Chris dived headfirst into the polyglot world and hasn't looked back. He now hosts a podcast called Actual Fluency, which aims to uncover the secrets of language learning, and also works on a variety of projects, including the selling and distribution of various language products. In this interview, we hear more about how Chris found the polyglot community, his thoughts on the spaced repetition method of language learning, which he says is like downloading a language from the Matrix, and even about how AI is being used to personalise language learning. Now, one thing that we should mention is this interview was recorded back in November of 2019, so before everything changed in 2020. Keep that in mind as you hear Chris talking about a variety of projects. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Coffee Break Conversations. I'm Mark, your Coffee Break host, and today we are here with the one and only Chris. Now, you've taught me how to say your second name correctly. Broholm?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's it, yeah.
So, Chris, you are from Denmark, and you are the host of the Actual Fluency podcast, but you're also something of a polyglot and, an all-round language enthusiast. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, absolutely, yeah. As you say, I'm from Denmark, and 31 years old. That's an important fact there as well.
Lucky you.
Yeah, and just going through the languages, I think it's probably the easiest way. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Danish is my first language. English is my second language. Although some argue that English has become my first language, but I'm not gonna argue for that. But as a fun fact, some people ask me, what language do you think in? You probably get the same question. Yep. And for me, it changed when I was about 12. It changed to English.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So we can talk about that later if it's opportune. But then I had German in school from grade 5. Mm-hmm. And I actually continued with German in high school, and I did a bit of university in German as well. So that has become quite good as well. And then you get Norwegian and Swedish, almost the same as Danish. So I don't want to count them necessarily, but I could definitely
talk to someone. I think you should count them.
All right, let's count them. And then I've been doing some work on my Russian for the last 4 or 5 years or so, which was actually the beginning of Actual Fluency. Was me picking up the hobby as a language learner outside any kind of formal institution. And that's what I've been working on. And I've been kind of learning just how difficult it is to start a language from scratch, especially one that's so different.
Okay, excellent. Well, can you tell us for our listeners a little more about what you do professionally? Because you work in languages and your day-to-day life is all about languages and combining languages with other things like marketing and so on. So tell us a little about that sort of day-to-day work. What do you do?
Absolutely. So right now I am the growth manager of I Will Teach You a Language.
So that's Ollie Richards.
Ollie Richards, yeah. People probably heard of him. And that means that I'm in charge of finding affiliate partners that we can basically reach a wider audience with our courses. And I use some of those skills with my own stuff as well in Actual Fluency. I do email marketing, copywriting, all kinds of things involved in, let's say, selling and distributing language products. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my main job. And then I have a few side projects also involved in language learning, actual fluency being one of them, mm-hmm. Polyglot Cruise being a relatively new addition.
We'll talk about that in just a moment.
That I'm working on. I'm also interested in possibly getting into some Danish materials as well. It's on the board, but haven't quite started it yet.
Okay, cool. So you're part of what I would describe as the polyglot community. You attend the events and so on. Tell us, for our listeners who are perhaps interested in being involved in this kind of thing, tell us a little more about what that means. What is the polyglot community, and do you have to speak loads of languages to be involved?
Right. The second thing is definitely not. I think that the community is more of it's a community. I mean, that's a good word to describe it, but it's just a lot of nice people. And I mean, I can go back to the first time I went to the Polyglot Gathering, which was in 2014. And that was the first time it was ever held. And it was a funny story, actually. I'll tell it quickly, where I just found out about this polyglot movement. I just learned about Benny Lewis, who's kind of one of the big founders of it. He's a great guy, great motivator, and like I said, really influential in starting the whole movement. He had a big website about traveling around Europe, learning languages in 3 months. Fluent 3 months is the name of the site. And I found it, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing lifestyle. I want to do that. As it happens, I never really did that lifestyle. I tried it a little bit, and it was just not for me, which is a great lesson to learn. You know, I didn't want to travel every 3 months and live out of a suitcase.
I don't think it would be a lifestyle for me either. I like my luxury. Well, not my luxuries, but I like to be able to unpack a suitcase at least.
Yeah. And so when, for some reason, I got into the groups on Facebook, and there was this post by Judith Meyer, who's also a really well-established polyglot already at the time. And she had put up this post saying, oh, we're doing a gathering in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And she had given... They had opened up the registration for people on this forum, How to Learn Any Language, which was basically before I even joined, mm-hmm. was a place for polyglots to hang out. So they'd already filled up almost all of the spots. So she put a post up saying, we've got 20 spots available for this first ever event. And I just thought, I'll go for it, you know? And I wasn't really interested in language learning that much. I loved it in school, and I've people told me I have a great kind of ear for languages. But I didn't do it as a hobby myself actively at the time. But then I got to Berlin, and it was like, these people are amazing. You know, they were the nicest people ever. And I think at that time, if I'd gone to a marketing conference perhaps not a fishing conference, but if I've gone to another conference and people have been really nice, I might have just done that.
Yeah, okay. So you've kind of found yourself in this world,
yeah,
as it were, but you're quite happy to be here.
I picked it very selectively because I think in life you should have a passion or some kind of area where you're interested and you want to learn more about, you want to contribute, you want to be a part of. And I thought to myself, languages are a great way to do that. And the people there in Berlin, everyone was so nice. I mean, I come there, I have to speak some English, Danish, and German were my languages, and nobody seemed to bother that much that I was with, you know, only that languages.
Yeah.
Which for a lot of people listening, that's still great to have two extra languages from your mother tongue. But you have to remember the average at that event was probably like 7.
I mean, I've been to a couple of the events too, and I think, you know, there are people there who are just learning one language, and they have a fantastic time too, because again, they're with like-minded people,
yeah.
But equally, you know, no matter what language you're learning, you can share the strategies and the ideas around language learning. Let's talk a little more about those strategies and the methods of language learning. You said that you've been learning Russian,
yep.
And you've also dabbled in a couple of other languages and so on. So what would you say is your preferred method of learning?
I really like to use spaced repetition.
Okay.
I'm almost addicted to it.
Can you explain what that is for our listeners?
So the most basic form is flashcards. Mm-hmm. So most people probably know the paper version where it has a definition on one side and then it has the translation on the other side, typically.
Yep.
And in the modern day, that could be like Anki or Memrise, or you know, even Duolingo uses it to some extent. But for me, it's like downloading a language from the Matrix.
Okay.
You know? It's like you just... The way that the brain works is just so tuned into spaced repetition, because that's how we learn anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you do it multiple times and then it becomes fixed. So that's my main way to kind of learn the building blocks of a language.
So in terms of the spaced repetition, is when you get one particular word or a phrase, and then after a time, it automatically comes back up just at the right moment when your brain's almost forgotten it, that, the kind of idea.
Yeah, and actually I spent some time with the founder of Memrise, Ed Cook, who's a, I would call him a mad memory scientist.
Okay.
And if you've ever met him, you'd see it immediately, and he doesn't mind. he's quite eclectic, as it were. But he says that that's the exact time you should revise it, just before you're about to forget it. That's the best time.
The best time.
And in practice, that probably looks something like, I mean, it's exponential, of course. So it probably looks something like 2 hours, 1 day, 3 days, 10 days, something like that, you know. It depends for everyone. It depends on what word it is, if you're familiar with the language already. If it has cognates, of course, you can remember this much quicker.
And some of the tools that you're talking about there, they're intelligent in the sense that they begin to recognize when you start to forget those words, and then they'll bring them up at the right time.
Yeah. So the newest technology is machine learning, AI. So that basically means that they're taking all the learners who have tried to learn a word, and then they say, okay, on average, it takes them 23.7 hours to forget this word. So we have to show it just before.
Yeah, so on the 22nd hour, that's when you're getting it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's getting very technical. Yeah. And actually, some companies like Linguist are starting to do it personalized as well. So a company like Memrise might pool all the data together. But the newest I've seen from a company like Linguist is it uses your own learning. Mm-hmm. So it says, in the past, you did this and this and this, and then it builds your new recommendations for you. But this learn, the big caveat here is you can learn vocabulary and you can learn grammar and you can learn anything really, but it's not language yet. So you have to really be sure to combine it with, I prefer tutoring sessions, one-on-one.
Okay.
Go on italki, and you can find a lot of keen tutors for as little as, you know, $5 an hour. These are probably university students who are just doing it as a bit of money on the side, a bit of beer money, you know. So you don't need a professional teacher with like 5 degrees and, you know, to teach you, to talk to you a bit and try to activate some of the things you've learned. So I would say if I had to boil it down to like the bare minimum, those would be the two kind of big things. Any kind of immersion, watching TV or listening to music, I see that as a big bonus, but it's hard to quantify the effects.
Yeah.
It's more like solidifying and like helping you establish what you've already learned, basically.
But definitely not just one tool.
No.
And I think that's what we always try to encourage people to think of. Yeah, fantastic. If you're enjoying using Coffee Break, fantastic. But there are also other things which will complement that. And it's the combination of all these resources that you can put together that will help you make the progress. And, you know, if we're looking at Coffee Break, then you if you've got 15 minutes or whatever when you're sitting there with your cup of coffee, then yeah, you can listen to a podcast. But if you're standing at the bus stop and you've got a couple of minutes waiting in the bus, then there are other tools that you can use in that particular moment and just fill all those little points of the day with a little bit of language learning.
That's my philosophy, honestly. For most people, I think getting started is the big challenge.
Yep.
And understanding that you don't need to aim for perfection to enjoy a foreign language.
Absolutely.
Having learned just hello, how are you? I mean, the way it changes people is insane.
Indeed.
If you live in like, I don't know, Hungary, live in Budapest, try to learn hello, how are you in Hungarian and watch the people behind the counter or the restaurant go like, you know, he's come in and ordered in English every day and now he's spoken my language. They get so excited about it and they're so happy. So you make somebody's life better. You make your own life better. You know, and that's just with a few words.
Yeah.
So imagine what you can do with more.
Indeed. I'm going to put you on the spot. Sia, hojaj.
Mindenjo.
You've learned a little Hungarian in your time, haven't you?
Yeah. I seem to remember we had like a Hungarian round table at one of the conferences. Where we each used our terrible Hungarian. But yeah, that's a great language, by the way.
It's
if you want a challenge.
Very complex, yeah.
Yeah, if you want a challenge and... But it's very organized, you know, it's very, all the endings make sense and you just have to learn a lot.
A lot, yeah, yeah. Okay, so can you give us perhaps an idea if there have been any particular moments that you can remember in your language learning experience of whatever language that was, when you've kind of suddenly felt, this has clicked or it's paid off?
For Russian, I had a big aha moment. initially I was doing like a lot of flashcards to see how many words I could learn. And I realized it wasn't translating into language. So the tutoring sessions I had initially, and these are on my YouTube channel, by the way, so you can listen to my first Russian lessons. And it's very painful. And I can't listen to it myself because it's like really an hour's conversation. But if you speak at a normal speed, it would be like 5 minutes. But the big aha moment was that for foreign languages, and especially languages that are very different, like Hungarian or Russian, you're not translating from your own language. And even, I would say, even in the closer languages, that's not what you're trying to do. But the impulse is there because that's how we're brought up. Mm-hmm. That English to Danish, that's just a translation. But actually, the way that most languages work, I mean, English and Danish are quite similar in structure anyway, but the most languages work is that they're translating meaning.
Yep.
So, for instance, in Russian, I was trying to say, I would like to order a cup of coffee. Uh-huh. But in reality, because I was so bad at Russian, what I should have just done is say, okay, what is it I'm trying to achieve with this sentence? That is, I would like a coffee. Well, can I boil that down even more? A coffee, please. So it's like, you know, you can boil it down to that. Mm-hmm. And in Hungarian, see, I could do that as well. But that was the big aha moment for me because I was really stuck in this kind of translation mode.
Yeah.
And when I realized that you have to really simplify it, that's when everything got so much easier in the tutoring lessons because I was not trying to look for translations in my head. I was just saying, what am I actually trying to say?
Absolutely.
So I got that from Tokipuna, if you can believe it.
Tokipuna? Yeah. Right. Now, Tokipuna is a constructed language. Tell our listeners a little more about Tokipuna.
Right. So Tokipuna is a very small language, has only 120-ish words.
Okay.
And it was constructed by a person named Sonia Lang. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you basically distill the language to its bare minimum.
Yep.
So the idea is how few words can you actually do it with?
Uh-huh.
And the way it helped my Russian was that instead of thinking with all the filler words and everything, I was actually trying to, you can imagine trying to build a sentence with a language that doesn't have the word for car, for instance.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is a car? Well, it's a moving building.
Okay.
In Tokipuna anyway.
Right.
So that's the example. And that's where I got it from. And it really it forces you to think minimalistically in a linguistic fashion.
Yeah.
And so when I applied that to Russian, I was being way, way, way too ambitious. I think a lot of the listeners probably have this thing too, because you don't want to look like an idiot when you're speaking a new language.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like a caveman or something like that.
Yeah, or like a kid.
Yeah.
But the idea, the basic premise that I learned from that was you need to.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, you will be. But the best thing you can do is to laugh at yourself.
Absolutely.
And enjoy it. I remember going into a Hungarian sandwich shop and the girls were giggling all over about my terrible Hungarian. But I did it. I did it. And I had a great time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of language learning and language learners, we often find that lots of our learners here at Coffee Break don't consider themselves as language learners and certainly not as polyglots. What advice would you give to someone who is perhaps scared to even begin learning a language?
I think it comes back to you enjoy it from the very first word. Instead of going into it saying, I will be fluently speaking romantic Italian in, you know, a year or 6 months or whatever deadline you put on it, just say, how much impact can I do with 10 words or let's say 3 lessons of Coffee Break? What can I actually say? You know, and if you look at it, you can actually say quite a lot, like, where are you from? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you learning Italian? You can say these things that everyone asks you anyway.
Yes.
So you can kind of level up your life. And I think not being afraid, like we just said, to be the caveman or the Tarzan of the language is a great thing. And it's really fun to do. Some people don't get into it because they think it's a lot of work, which it is, but you can take it, you know, so you're saying, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time.
Exactly.
It's exactly the same. So just do whatever you feel like. If your grandparents are from Italy or, you know, if you have a Swedish pen pal, learn some of that language and see how that changes you. And if you like it, keep going.
Keep going. Absolutely. Good advice. We're just going to take a short break now. And in a moment, we'll be back to find out more about Chrissy's language learning and indeed some of the professional activities that he is involved in. Here at Coffee Break Languages, we provide a whole range of materials to help you take your next step with learning a language. We offer free podcasts in a range of languages, and also full online courses with video materials, lesson notes, and more to help you make faster progress. Just search for Coffee Break Languages or visit coffeebreakacademy.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, it's time for our quick fire round. Now, what happens here is we ask you very quickly to identify one particular thing, your favorite something, okay? And you're not allowed to think about it, you just come out with it. Okay, it's very short, but let's start with, first of all, your favorite language.
Russian.
The favorite word in that language.
Selskohozdinstvennyy.
Which means?
It's agricultural.
Okay, why?
Long story.
Okay, right. We'll come back to that another episode. What about a favourite song or a film or a book in a foreign language?
I really like the band Tatu from Russia.
Okay.
The songs are great, and I like that they did them in English and Russian.
Yep.
But Yasaslasma, I think is the title, is quite complicated. That took me about 6 months to learn what that meant.
Okay, is that the translation of all the things she said?
The direct translation is something like, I've lost my mind.
Okay, well, we'll move on. what about the favorite destination to practice one of your languages?
I really like the Christmas markets of Germany. Yeah. Well, it's quite a cliche, but I really like it.
It's all good. And especially at this time of year, we're recording this in December.
Yeah.
You've had the experience of the Glasgow Christmas markets. So obviously that far outshone the German Christmas markets, but...
Not a lot of German there, but yeah.
A few sausages, but anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, and the final question in this round, and this is a big one. So where and with whom would your ideal coffee break be?
I mean, there's a lot of good choices. I think the one that comes to mind, not necessarily too much for the foreign language, he does like it a lot, but I think Stephen Fry is a fantastic personality, and he really likes languages too, and I know he's learned a little bit of Esperanto, so he definitely likes it. He speaks French too, I know, so that would probably be it, not necessarily for the foreign languages, but just because he's such an interesting person.
Very clever guy.
Yeah, super, super clever.
I remember seeing something that he did, I think it was about the Gutenberg Bible or something like that, and the way in which it was printed. And he was just so enthusiastic about every aspect of this and the fact that the Gutenberg Bible in its day was, I think, like the internet of now, which gave people the opportunity to suddenly do things in their own language and have well, the printing press and everything like that allowed people to express themselves. And so it was a fascinating bit of television that I watched. Okay. Ska vi tala lite på dansk?
Okay, vi kan prøve, ja.
Min dansk ikke så godt. My Danish is not very good at all. Men jeg taler lige skandinavisk.
Yeah.
Så kan du kanskje... måske en dansk, ja.
Ja.
Præsentere dig.
Ja. Yeah. Ja, jeg kan præsentere mig selv. Jeg prøver at snakke en lille smule langsommere
end
normalt på dansk. Det er et meget hurtigt sprog. Jeg hedder Christoffer. Det er mit danske navn. I England kalder jeg mig Chris, fordi man forkorter alting.
Yeah.
Og jeg synes, at skandinavisk er et spændende koncept, at man snakker alle tre sprog samtidig.
So just to explain for our listeners here, so what Chris has said there is that his name's Christoffer in Danish, but everyone calls him Chris in English. But he thinks the idea of Scandinavian is interesting because we've got kind of three languages for one.
Yeah, merged. Right. And actually, when you, just to do that bit in English,
yeah.
If a Dane, a Norwegian, and a Swede is in the same room speaking their own language, they usually adapt. So that's what we call speaking Scandinavian, mm-hmm. because that's when I would say something like, you know, you just said kanske, for instance, in Swedish, we say muske in Danish. So if I'm speaking to the Swedish person, I could say kanske instead or själv, you know.
Yeah.
That's a very hard sound for me to make. But
for me too.
But it's tricky. And if I'm speaking with a Norwegian person, I would adapt other things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I call Scandinavian. And that's very fascinating, I think.
Absolutely.
Have like a lingua franca kind of version of the languages.
Exactly. Hvor bor du i Danmark?
Jeg bor i England.
Yeah, okay.
Men jeg født i København.
Okay, so you're born in Copenhagen. Yeah. I apologize for my awful Danish. It's really, really not good at all. But I'm kind of thinking you're getting what I mean.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. And I think it's a very rare language for English native speakers to learn and speak. So, I mean, you're doing way better than 99.99999% of the population. So,
that's gonna hit.
Do us a little.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Any final thoughts? Any words of advice or any ideas that you'd like to share with our Coffee Break community?
Yeah, come to the events, honestly, because that changes everything. You asked a little bit earlier about how can we make language learning success more abundant for people, and I think coming to the event really. It puts faces to the whole movement. You make friendships that kind of transcend the whole learning. And it makes everything better, honestly, because people are so nice. You have the same interests and you get to travel as well, which I think is a really big benefit. That's the other part. Go to the conferences, you know, to explore the local towns. I mean, we were recently in Boston.
In Boston,
And what a great place, except
Absolutely.
That it rained all the time. But yeah, well, come to the event.
Kind of used to that here in Glasgow, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. You bought the umbrella.
Talking of events, you've got an event yourself that you could perhaps mention to our listeners.
Absolutely. So I don't know when this will go out, so maybe it's too late for the first one, but I'm organizing something called the Polyglot Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was to take some of the best from the events, which is, in my opinion, the socializing, and then put it on a platform where people could basically spend a lot of time together. Because you're on a ship, so we have our little section on a cruise ship, a very big one. So we have a few hours of presentations every day, very limited, because at the other events you usually have presentations all day, which I always thought was way too much. I'd rather want to network with people, you know. I could always watch the presentations later on YouTube.
Yep.
So for the ship, we're going to be in a new port every day. It's going to be in the Mediterranean in April 2020. So if you're listening to this ahead of that, you can... might be able to still get it on, just let me know. But apart from that, we're going to do it every year, and I'm going to hope to find some new exciting locations where we can practice loads of languages. And, you know, you can get off the ship, explore for the day, and then when we come back in the afternoon, we'll just have one, two, maybe three presentations or workshops, or, you know, we'll get together and mastermind if you want to learn how to, I don't know, build a blog or start a podcast, you know, I can help with that too.
Excellent. And if people want to find out more about that, or indeed in general more about you, how do they find you?
So the website is actualfluency.com. Okay. You'll find everything there, including the podcast. There's a link to the Polyglot Cruise as well. And pretty much everything I'm up to is from there. So come over and say hi.
Fantastic. So actualfluency.com, and you'll be able to meet Chris there. Now, this is an extra bonus for this episode, because we were aware that Chris had been talking about a number of things which perhaps over the past few months have been a little more difficult to manage. And for that reason, we've asked Chris to come back on the podcast. Chris, you're joining us virtually from...
Stoke-on-Trent, the middle of England.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well. It's interesting times we live in, for sure, but I'm doing a lot of... language learning, working on actual fluency and other fun stuff. So doing the negative with the positive, as they say.
Good stuff. So we wanted just a little update from you. Obviously, you had spoken in our main episode about the whole idea of the Polyglot Cruise, and that was planned for, was it April?
Yeah, in middle of April, yeah.
But with the situations that we've all been encountering, that didn't unfortunately go ahead. Can you give us a bit of an update?
Yeah, absolutely. So typical when you're hosting your first event, right? What we did was we decided to move it till next year and sort of the same week of 2021 instead, April. Hopefully things will be back to somewhat normal by then. And everyone who had a ticket for the first one were offered the chance to just keep the ticket, no losses or anything, or get a refund. And I'm happy to say that almost everyone was happy to continue with the ticket for next year. And just a few people wanted a refund, which is absolutely fine. No hard feelings there. I really appreciate the support. And to make it kind of, safe and secure for people to book tickets for next year, we've kind of extended the normal, you have a 2-week or 3 months or whatever refund period. So we've extended that all the way through January 1st. So for any reason, if people are uncomfortable, go, we give a full refund, 100%, no problem. We cover the fees and everything. Just to get people to join earlier, because that gives us the best prizes, it gives us the best opportunity to find the right cabins and get people into the kind of style of cabin they want as well. So that's basically where we're at.
Okay. So basically, if any of our listeners are interested in being involved in this, give us a quick rundown again of where the destinations are. We're talking about a Mediterranean cruise, correct?
Absolutely. So we're starting in Barcelona, and the stops that are sort of nominated, they can change, but the nominated stops are Mallorca, and we go to Malta as well. And then we go over to Italy and visit Sicily. And we also go a little bit further up the coast to, I can never say this one. Is it Civitavecchia? I'm not sure.
I think it's Civitavecchia.
I say Civitavecchia, Mecitecitia. I can never say it, but that one, exactly. So we go up there and then back to Barcelona again. But, the depending on weather and other factors, they might decide to kind of either cancel destinations or add new ones. So it is a bit flexible, but I can tell you for sure that it starts and ends in Barcelona.
Okay. Well, some fantastic destinations there. I mean, some beautiful places and a wonderful way to combine some travel with some interesting language learning topics and topics about the whole world of languages. Chris, in terms of your own language learning and what you've been working on over the past few months, obviously everyone has had to readjust somewhat and look at different ways of learning. Is there anything that you have taken from this time in terms of your own learning?
I really appreciate, I'm grateful that we live in a time where I can go on a website and have a native speaker face-to-face within minutes, and it costs me less than, a meal deal from Subway. I find that absolutely remarkable, and for me, that will always be the most powerful way to improve my languages. So I've had quite a few tutoring sessions in Russian, which is my kind of challenge language. I've been working on it for quite a while. And I really encourage everyone to, if you can't get out for whatever reason, try to look online, get a conversation partner or even hire a tutor. It's way more affordable than most people think.
Brilliant. It's all about the conversation. And that is where we're going to leave this episode of Conversations. Chris, thanks for doing this little extra update for us. And we wish you continued success with everything that you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, good to hear.
Celta.
I think one of the key points that Chris brought up in his interview was that you don't need to aim for perfection to enjoy a foreign language. That's something that we really agree with here at Coffee Break. As Chris said, even learning just a simple hello, how are you in someone's native language can make a massive difference both to you and the person to whom you're speaking. And that's what we believe language learning is all about. Now, we've also filmed a video with Chris in our Coffee Break kitchen studio, and you can find that over at our YouTube channel. Just search for Coffee Break Languages on YouTube, where you'll be able to find that video along with a whole range of other language learning videos. Once again, thank you to Chris for taking part in this interview, and we'll be back next week with another Coffee Break conversation. You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2020, Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2020, Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.